Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Entering this new week, I have been thinking about Psalm 34, using part of the psalm this weekend in my prayer and praise to God. This is Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Isn't that both true and beautiful? Bless the Lord at all times. Now there is a challenge. Bless the Lord in good times and in bad times. Bless the Lord in celebration and in defeat. Bless the Lord when we are healthy. Bless the Lord after a difficult diagnosis. The praise for God will continuously be in my mouth. I take this to mean, using our words, we constantly have praise for the living God. Verse 2 of Psalm 34, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Ah, if we boast, let us boast in the Lord alone. We have nothing to be boastful about within ourselves. But we, if we belong to the people of God, we have Jesus Christ who has done everything for us, meeting our every need. Most importantly, providing salvation from our sins. The humble people will hear of our boast in the Lord and, in time, join with us. Is praise for God in your mouth at this hour? Does your soul boast in the Lord? And then I really love verse 3 of Psalm 34. This has been ringing in my mind all weekend. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. That's also my invitation to you, dear listeners. I call you to magnify only the Lord with me. May he increase and may we decrease. Let us, you and me, exalt his name together. Let us lay aside our love of self and kill our pride and exalt, magnify, praise, glorify, highly esteem the name of God. There is only one name worthy of our praise, one name under all of heaven, and that is the name of Jesus. Jesus, who is God. So, how about it? Will you join me in a week full of magnifying the Lord? I pray that you and I will exalt his name together in our lives. Amen. As you know, if you've been with us as planned, we return now to the book of Job. This has been the focus of our time together in the last many weeks, and we're coming now towards the end of this mighty book of the Bible. To help us understand it, I have divided the text into three major acts, and I have used the analogy of us attending a real-life drama in a stage theater. As we take our seats this week, the curtain rises on Act 2, Scene 10. In this act, Elihu speaks and Job listens. This covers Job chapters 32 to 37 in the Bible. Elihu is a very wise and godly man, and he has the best counsel that Job will receive. And so we have been paying very close attention to what Elihu has to say. And when we left off on Friday, we were here at Job chapter 34. I will remind you that the main point Elihu stresses in chapter 34 is this: God is always right. God is always right because God is perfect, and God cannot do anything wrong. Are there things that God cannot do? Yes, God cannot do anything wrong. Job feels that God has wronged him. Job is right, and God is wrong. We sometimes feel this way also. Well, our pastor Elihu speaks directly to this bad attitude within Job and within us. Listen to Job chapter 34, verse 10. Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness and from the Almighty to do wrong. That's Elihu in Job 34, verse 10. The men of understanding here includes Job's first three friends. Elihu says, "Listen up, all of you. God cannot do evil. God cannot do wrong. God is never wicked and God is never wrong. It is you who are wrong. God is in the right. We are in the wrong." Today, I want us to look again to the stage, as it were, and listen as Elihu resumes his monologue at verses 29 and 30 of Job chapter 34. Elihu wants to relate two more points to Job, both that emphasize the righteousness of God. If you have your Bible there with you, open it, please, to Job chapter 30, verses 29 and 30. Job is right before the book of Psalms, about halfway through the Bible. I'm reading Job 34, verses 29 and 30. And I read from the New American Standard Bible, the NASB, in case you are curious. "When God keeps quiet, who then can condemn? And when God hides his face, who then can behold him?" Let's pause here. This is said in reference to what appears to be God's slowness in punishing the wicked, all while God is actively allowing suffering in Job's life. The point Elihu makes is, even should God be silent, we cannot condemn God for it. Even should God be silent, we cannot condemn God for it. Here's a very practical matter for us. Did you know that just because God does not act when we think he should act and in the way we think he should act, that does not mean we have the right to judge God? Just because God does not act when we think he should act and in the way we think he should act, that does not mean we have the right to be God's judge. Job had that kind of attitude growing within his heart. We sometimes do as well, and we are particularly susceptible to this when we are going through a very difficult time. But God is never, ever wrong. In his own time and in his own way, he will speak, and we must trust that God will always do what is right, both to us and to others. Well, you might say, this is a tough one. How am I supposed to believe that God never does wrong? Should I agree with Elihu? Should I agree with you that I need to trust God to do right towards me? You do not know what I have been going through. Well, you're right about this. I do not know what you were going through, just as you do not know what I am going through. Do I speak to you today? You who, based on your suffering, have reasons to give for why God is not trustworthy and why you doubt his goodness to you? Why you doubt that God is right? There lies within persons the temptation to condemn God when we perceive that God keeps quiet. God gets blame all the time. We do not like what is happening to us, and God can become a big target in which to shoot our anger. But here is something to think critically about. If God can do no wrong, if everything that God does is right, then why do we blame God when something goes wrong? Elihu makes the case to us that when we feel this way, what we most need to pray about, to talk with other Christians about, to wrestle with, is how to trust God. How do we trust the one who is always right, when we are experiencing so much that is wrong? I have one more point I want to make today, but first, capture this question for your consideration. How do you trust the one who is always right when you are experiencing so much that is wrong? Take up that question with God. Talk with your Christian family and friends about this, and see how you answer. My prayer is that this will get you thinking. As I said, there is a second way in chapter 34 that Elihu emphasizes the righteousness of God. And this is that Elihu shows Job the way to repentance from Job's sin. In the presence of righteous God, our only response is to repent of our unrighteousness. God is holy, just, and righteous. We are unholy, unjust, and unrighteous. What a difference! Repentance before God, changing our mind about our sin and moving in a different direction away from sin, coming to His Son Jesus and expressing genuine sorrow for our unrighteousness. This is the way to peace with God. We will not spend long on this, so I have time for it today. In Job 34, verse 32, Elihu does a superb job of preparing Job for repentance, which will come later on in the story. Elihu says this. I'll read just one line in verse 31, and then go to verse 32. Again, this is Job chapter 34, verses 31 and 32. For has anyone said to God, teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will not do it again. In other words, Job, say to God, show me my sins. Point them out to me, Lord, and I will repent of them. I will stop sinning in these ways. This gives us a sweet little foretaste of what comes as a result of Elihu's message to Job. As we proceed, we will see Job apply to his life what Elihu says here. Repentance of sin. This is a very important theme in the book of Job. I really want to encourage you to be here all week and in the weeks that follow as we come to the end of the book of Job. This concludes what I want to share with you from Job chapter 34. And to remind you, ask yourself this question. How do I trust the one who is always right when I am experiencing so much that is wrong? Second, consider what repentance from sin will look like in your life. Apply this if you would. I have been doing the same in my life. Tomorrow we come to Act 2, Scene 10 again, and I hope you will join me as together we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.